Good evening. Welcome to City Council meeting, our work session on September the 3rd of 2024. Appreciate you joining us this evening and appreciate staff also being with us tonight. We'll start our meeting tonight by having Councilmember Pulver lead us in Pledge of Allegiance after he either gives us an invocation or a thought of his choice.
I'm going to do an invocation, Mayor. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day and this wonderful city that we all live in. And as we go through tonight, that we can maintain that spirit and think for all the things that we need to do for the citizens. And as we make decisions, that we keep the citizens in mind. Lord, we love these so very much, and we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Councilmember Pulver. We'll start with our consent agenda this evening. Council, based upon the agenda that was previously sent to you, are there any conflicts of interest that need to be disclosed this evening? Seeing none, move on to item number two. We're going to hear from Dylan on three or four things tonight. We'll have him start with a discussion or an action to consider the final acceptance for Quail Pond subdivision.
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor and Council. Like you said, I got four subdivisions tonight, the first one being Quail Ponds 5, a little six-lot subdivision from 2021 with conditional status in November of 2021. They had a paved access and a couple trenches that needed to be finalized. They were paved a couple weeks ago. There's no ADA ramps in this development, but based on the recommendation from our city engineer, Eric Casperson, all the improvements are up to city code and standard, so we recommend final acceptance.
Would you like us to accept these individually or all at once? Do you have questions on some of them?
I can go through all of them if you'd like, or we can do them individually, whatever.
Let's just do them individually, just in case you have an issue with one of them. Council, do we have a motion to accept Dylan's recommendation for final approval of the Quail Pond subdivision?
Mayor, I move that we approve Quail Pond subdivision phase 5.
Thank you, Councilmember Severing.
Second.
Thank you, Councilmember Barker. Any further questions for Dylan or discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Let's go on to the next one. Dylan, let's talk about North Oaks Cove 15.
We could do that.
Number three.
Oh, it's number three. I think I got Fernwood next. I could do either one, though. Fernwood.
I said North Oaks Cove subdivision.
I'll go to North
Oaks Cove. You go to whichever one you want.
North Oaks Cove.
I'm just following my...
I've messed up the paperwork before, but North Oaks Cove 15, they have 13 lots. It was recorded in February 2022, and conditional approval for the improvements was provided in April 2022. The subdivision improvements include water, storm drain, sidewalks. There was four ADA ramps in this neighborhood, but the sewer was from the previous phases, so all they had to do was run the laterals. All these improvements are up to the city code and standards, and it is the recommendation of our city engineer, Eric Casperson, to provide final approval for those.
Did you mention there's one small thing that they've agreed to, the curb and gutter, was that in 15?
Yeah, went up there last week, and one section looks like it got hit with a piece of equipment that the developer is gonna take care of. It's not done at the time of the mark of the paint painting today, so.
I understand you're concerned about some of the residents in this subdivision.
They've always been good to me, so I don't have any concerns with them.
He has to say that.
No, I actually live in the subdivision, so I'm good to do a little more time. Anything else, Dylan, we need to know? So you're recommending approval?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Hill has recommended approval. Final acceptance of the North Oaks Cove subdivision phase 15. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you, Councilmember Pulver. Is there any further discussion? Councilmember Barker?
A quick question. Do they have a turnaround at the top of the north end?
They do not. It is less than 150 feet, and firemen can back up that far, is what they told me.
And we have the fire marshal here.
It's not on the approved plans for that, and that was the reasoning I was told.
Okay. I won't use my fireman math to say that's more than 100
from the
2 feet.
Yeah, that was the explanation I got.
Okay.
I know there's phase 16 that is not approved yet that will punch through there.
Yeah, it looks like it's like 300 feet, right? Because you got the first two lots there, 120. Depending on when it starts, yeah.
Okay.
It's pretty close.
Okay.
That was more for the snow plows to back up.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passed unanimously. Let's move on. What do you have next, Dylan?
I got North Oaks Cove 17, which is just a jump and a skip pop to the east.
I got that one on mine next.
Now, North Oaks Cove 17 is a five-lot subdivision that was recorded last year with conditional acceptance approved on the improvements in June of 2023. With this particular development, you can see on the map up there, 30 by 50 is part of the improvements. There's two separate escrow accounts for this, for the cul-de-sac and for the roadway on 3550. That is not done yet. The money will not be released until the portion of 3550 is done. All the improvements on the cul-de-sac are what will be accepted and approved tonight with that. They are to the city code and standards. It is the recommendation of the city engineer to provide final approval for that portion of the subdivision.
Okay, any questions for Dylan on North Oaks Cove, phase 17? Councilmember Watson?
I'll make a motion to approve the final acceptance of North Oaks Cove, subdivision 17.
Okay, thank you. We have a second for Councilmember Watson. It's
my second.
Thank you, Councilmember Severing. Any further questions for Dylan or other discussion? All in favor of the motion to accept final acceptance of North Cove's Oak Cove Subdivision 17, please say aye.
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 Are there any opposed? Okay, I guess the next one is Fernwood Estates, phase 6.
Thank you. Fernwood Estates, phase 6 is a four-lot subdivision down on 2100 North. They came and got conditional status in November 2021, and the delay for this subdivision was trying to patch the road. Couldn't get them to, and then when they pulled it up, I understood why. It's like 21 inches thick. It was some major patching. So they got that done a couple weeks ago. All the improvements are now complete and up to the city code and standards. It is the recommendation of our city engineer, Eric Casperson, to provide final improvement, take over responsibility for that.
That's your recommendation?
Yep.
Okay, we have a recommendation from Mr. Hill for final acceptance of Fernwood Estates, phase 6.
I just have a comment.
Okay, Councilmember Galvez.
The McDaniels have reached out to me a couple times. They're the ones furthest east on this map. They're pretty impacted by that really bad intersection at Fruitland that is just awkward. So. I've talked to David, and I think there's an eventual plan that we'll get that intersection figured out, and I think the main problem is they have sandbags along 1700 North right next to their property to kind of mitigate the issue for now. But you would have to get, you know, curbing and everything around that whole intersection. And I don't know if it'll be a roundabout or whatever, but we got to get that figured out, I'd say, in the next few years because it affects them.
Okay. Thank you. I know there's, I think last time we talked about it, there's some property that would have to be acquired that hasn't had any interest in selling, I guess, at this point in time to fix that intersection. But it is a very expensive endeavor. Okay, any other comments before we seek a motion? We have a motion then to for final acceptance of the Fernwood Estates, Phase 6.
So moved.
Thank you, Councilmember Pulver. I have a second to that motion.
I second.
Thank you, Councilmember Sitter. Any further questions or discussion? All right, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously.
Thanks,
Mr. Hill, thank you for your fine work. We'll move on now to our active agenda, and we'll have public comments now. Once again, those of you who are here would like to comment, please step up to the podium here and state your name. And if you're a resident of North Ogden, please limit your comments to no more than 5 minutes. And John, if you can watch online.
So if I take 5 minutes now and 5 minutes at the end, or
I'm good.
You can.
If you want to stick around that long,
you're good. That's fine. Council members, thank you for letting me come in. I have actually a little map.
State your name.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Brett Hadley. Brett Hadley and North Ogden City. So, I don't know if it would be of help for you guys to take a look at this map or not. I could walk it around to you if that's okay.
Yeah.
Just take one and pass it down. In the last few weeks, Harrisville City has painted the road in front of my house. I've talked to the roads department, and they said that Mr. Casperson had approved the new paint job. I don't know if anybody's been down there. What I'm trying to describe here, you can see the little blue dot is my house. If you look all the way from 150 down the rest of 2000, my east property line is the North Ogden City boundary, and the rest then is Harrisville. Harrisville is painted all the way to 150 North, and they've painted a median down the whole road. So if you can look at the blue lines and the red lines, they're marked what color they should have been. Sorry, this was kind of thrown together at the last minute. On the north side of the road, they left about a foot and a half from the curb of before they painted their white line, and then they've put the whole median down the whole middle of it. So basically what they created there, I understand why they did it down in front of the junior high, because there's traffic jams down there in the mornings, people trying to turn into the school. But to go all the way to 150 is a ridiculous notion. People now think it's a three-lane highway. And so Harrisville has a little speed limit sign down just a little bit. I routinely see 45 miles an hour people going down that road. Because of where they painted the lines, on the field side, so if you look on the south side of the road across from my house, those houses are no longer there. They've torn those houses down in that golf course area, and it's just a field over there. But they've left plenty of room on that side to park, right? So, but in front of my house, my wife went out the other day to grab the mail, standing in front of the mailbox, and a mirror came that close to hitting her because the lines are painted over there. Now, I can see in some parts of the city that might be important to have the lines there, but in front of my house, there's just no need for those lines to be painted like that. Nobody can park in front of my house anymore. Again, the yellow lines create a three-lane highway. People are speeding down the road. Right now, there's no arrows painted in 150, but the way that the lines are painted right now, I can see a head-on collision happening there if somebody's not paying attention to it. In my opinion, Harrisville was was wrong in crossing over the North Ogden boundary lines. I get that they got approval to do that. I'm willing to pay to have the lines repainted if that's what it takes, but to me it's ridiculous that the lines have been painted the way that they are. So.
Hey, we have Dave Espinosa with us tonight. Are you aware of this, Dave?
Yes, sir.
Okay, maybe you could get together and talk about this and see if there is any resolution. This is Dave Espinosa.
Yeah, no, it's just frustrating, right? People, I've lived there for 20 years now and always been able to park in front of my house. There's just no need for me not to be able to park in front. And the fact that somebody's going to get hit just getting the mail, you know. So thank you for that.
Okay, well, appreciate you coming.
Again, if there's anything that, and Christina's been down there.
Yeah, I'll echo his comments. It is very strange if someone parks right on the curb next to their house, you have to drive in the median in the middle of the road to get around. It's just weird.
The median really did not need to. If you look on the map, just past our house, it's open fields. And even when you get down to the next subdivision to the west, it's just a big white fence. And then, and if you look at the subdivision that's going in the golf course, they're not even having any houses face 2000. Right? Like, that's the backyards of the houses that are on the golf course. So there's never, ever going to be a time where all the way down that road, even the field to the west of my house, I've seen that subdivision plat, which it was, that's a Harrisville, obviously, but no houses even face 2000. So these lines only affect me and my two neighbors, and it really just was a bad job. So
maybe you could get with Dave and
yeah, we'll get after
chat
him.
About it and see the reasoning for the way it's striped.
So thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else like to comment? John, anyone online? All right. We'll move on to item number 7 now. I think there's a little bit of a change here. Some last-minute things came up with the committee, but I think this would be a good opportunity to talk about Cherry Days now that we don't have a committee to head that up. But I think, John, you have a slide that kind of shows some of the activities and what the costs were, and so the council could maybe digest maybe some of the things we want to consider continuing versus those that may not. Functional, is that correct? You have a
yeah, kind of. So we've got some preliminary numbers.
And these are preliminary.
And so maybe it'd be easier to talk about in generalities as opposed to specifics. But they kind of went down each activity and said, did this make money or did it not make money? And you know, I hate to, you know, give exact numbers, the ones that were the most expensive, meaning they paid for themselves the least, were the carnival and the concert. So that's not the vendors. The vendor program made money, but the carnival, which is the rides and then the stage with the performers, you know, they cost the sponsors of the event quite a bit of money, somewhere in $40,000-$50,000 for those two events. Maybe a little more, again, we don't have exact numbers. Fireworks never pays for itself, but it's typically that's what a lot of the people are sponsoring. They're wanting to sponsor the fireworks, so it kind of pays for itself. Yeah, Mayor.
John, I think we've been paying less because we haven't had it on the 4th. I don't know, Councilmember Barker probably knows more about this, but it looks like the approximate cost was about $12,000.
Yeah.
Somebody said it usually doubles when you do it on the 4th. I don't know if this vendor is different, but
well, I know that we have done shows in the past that were $18,000 and $20,000 on the 4th. So, and it seems to be well received by the folks who attend. It's, you know, it's a good show. The luau didn't make money either. The food, essentially the food paid for itself and the vendors. And so it's this weird concept because they raised, I should probably should start with this, they brought in, you know, over $46,000 in sponsorships again this year, which is more than the city ever has. You know, previously, last year, they got about 52,000, so it went down a little bit. But in the past, you know, we were getting maybe 15,000 in sponsorships for stuff. But then they also did a lot of activities, and so they spent more than we have in the past. And so it's hard to say that the... This is strictly looking at, was there a revenue that was tied to the activity that offset the cost? And it was ignoring the, you know, $45,000-$50,000 of sponsorships. And so when you start looking at all the others, the luau, you know, $5,000 or $6,000, but then everything else is less than $2,000. And so in theory, the sponsors just absorb that cost. But some of those other activities are like the shirts, you know, the Cherry Day swag, the foam party, the dance party. They had a bunch of medals they gave out to folks for winning their various events. The baseball game, the car show, movies in the park, the 5K, sunrise ceremony. Then there was this next group are events that didn't cost anything, meaning they didn't cost anything to put on, and so we didn't make or lose money on them because we didn't charge. But the skate event, the Kiwanis breakfast doesn't cost the city anything. Kiwanis does it all on their own. The parade didn't cost us anything. The medallion search, the reason that doesn't cost us anything is the award is typically a reservation for 200 people at the Aquatic Center, which when it's that small of a group, there's already two groups that are already there, and so it pays, those two groups have already covered the cost, so it's kind of a net wash. But you maybe could say that's $400. The rodeo doesn't cost us anything. The fitness in the park, all the instructors were volunteers, and then the flick and float. The ping pong ball drop, the pickleball, and then the marketplace, which is the vendors, all made money. In fact, the marketplace made over $10,000. And so I hate to steal some of their thunder when they come and present, but that's kind of the list. And so what we really need as we look for next year is, what are the activities that we want to do? What are the ones that seem feasible for us to do? A good example is the carnival is a big event and people enjoy it, but unless we can find a sponsor to cover that gap, it's probably not likely that it would make sense to fund that. But if you look at the ping pong ball drop, pretty cheap.
And people enjoy it.
People enjoy it, and so the cost for it is about $500, $450. It's likely that we could find a sponsor to sponsor the ping pong ball drop, and then you could do it for free, or you could still charge $1 a kid, and you know, use it to help offset some of the other costs.
I think there's two things as we look at this. First of all, who's going to oversee the activities we indicate need to continue on? We have some idea about that, but as I look through this, and you know, the numbers are preliminary, but there's two things on here that definitely would be very difficult, I think, to continue. One is the carnival. That looks like it was in excess of $30,000. And the concert, the big stage and the concert, are both substantial drags on the opportunity there. You look at the luau, I think we could probably still do that. I think that's kind of becoming a tradition, even though it was subsidized, it's not substantial. I think when you look at the car shows, very minimal. And the other things John mentioned that were basically kind of no cost, but I think the ping pong ball drop was something that was really successful, along with the pickleball tournament in the marketplace. So we just need to kind of decide what Charity Days is going to look like and how we're going to move forward, because it does take a lot of planning, and it'll be here before we know it. One of the conversations we had is that, you know, would each council member take an activity, be responsible for its success, getting the volunteers and lining that up, if we kind of minimize it down like Councilmember Barker. He's got expertise in fireworks pretty extensively. We just need to decide how we're going to move forward and how we're going to do this. Unless we want to go out and try to seek new committee members. But I think that even with committee members, when you look at the costs associated with some of the things, it's very substantial. So my recommendation would be that, you know, we probably don't do the concert, we don't do the carnival. I think some of the other things, you know, aren't that bad. We could probably handle most of the other things.
And this may be a good question to the council. Were there events that, as you've attended, you would like to see continue? Because a good majority of them cost less than $2,000, to the mayor's point, and they could be subsidized if there's the passion to do it. But, you know, let's jump to, I'm just going to pick the foam party. You know, this year it was $3,000 of cost, and it didn't bring in $3,000, but if the person who really wanted to do it found a sponsor for $3,000, then it can happen and go. But that's relying on someone to find the $3,000. So are there events that, like the mayor is suggesting, that you as council members would want to do? Ryan could do the fireworks or pickleball, or we can probably find people to do the parade in the community. I know the mayor's wife did the children's parade, and with, you know, someone would continue to do that. So, open discussion. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I would say the parade is traditional. People really like the parade, so that would be something that obviously the community enjoys. Councilmember Watson, was that you that had your
Yes, hand? I just had a couple of questions. The concert, were the musicians paid? I wonder if, just for a transition, just starting out an idea, I'm not opposed to getting rid of the concert and the carnival, but just as a transition year, if we had volunteer artists and no stage, but just some kind of small speakers in one corner, kind of you have to be right there to watch, and they were volunteer artists, if that would be something possible. And then as far as the carnival goes, I think I've gone with my kids, and I noticed that it wasn't a huge turnout this past year. I wonder if there's a way that you could just get one or two bounce house or slide rides and make it be like a $1 each time you go down, some high price. But so then again, it's a transition. Instead of doing the whole baseball field area, just put one where the stage was or something. You know what I mean? So just a possible idea there. But I have gone to as many events as I could in the past couple of years, and I've loved everything, so it's hard to say one thing that I want to have eliminated, because there's been so much. It's just been fun, and obviously this is all work done by the committee, volunteer work, and so hats off to them, and who knows if we'll be able to ever find volunteers to make any of this happen again, ever. So it's easy for me to say I want to have it all for free. But I am curious of more of the plan with our city's event coordinator, and if there's any room to incorporate some of this just oversight. You know, maybe the council does take on a lot of the behind-the-scenes work, but oversight or collecting the fundraiser, the sponsorship, something like that.
So are you proposing we hire an events coordinator?
Our current contracted events coordinator is only contracted for 5 events over the year. So if there is a way that we could, have Kiwanis take charge of the Easter egg hunt and eliminate that one from her, and instead add some just general oversight, or maybe it's just sponsorship, or some, not that she can be the entire committee all on her own, but a coordinator of some kind.
Okay.
Or increase your pay to incorporate more, even.
Okay, Councilmember Poland.
From being at a lot of the events, not so much at the events, but sitting next to the organizers and the committee members and just listening, because that's half the thing I was doing, is just kind of absorbing. Holy mackerel, they did a whole bunch. And I guess well, you kind of said, well, each council member can sponsor one of the agreement, kind of oversee or do yada yada. I kind of took a couple of skips there, because that's a lot of work. And if even with, five people, I mean, it was a heck of a lot more that was doing all of it. And I don't know. I need to think about that a little bit more, because I think Christina, Councilman Watson, has a better idea with people that know what the crap they're doing. Not, honestly, I don't know what I'm doing, And so to try to reinvent the wheel, I think there's some spot, being involved, I think, is one thing, but leading the effort as a council person, I think, is scary, at least in my mind.
Pleasant View's pulled it off. That's what they do. But we're starting at ground zero anyway, because every member of the committee says they're not doing it again. They're not taking the abuse that they suffered.
So does that mean Councilman Barker's out?
His assignment was to oversee. He oversaw the...
That was a joke, Okay.
Well, we just need to decide the direction we're going to go. And what we're going to... How big it's going to be and what it's going to... I mean, I look at the...
Looking for what we want and what we don't want right now?
Well, we can surely have an initial discussion. I mean,
I can tell you one thing, that we need to have the parade at the right time so we can get a flyover. That was a huge disappointment, at least in my mind.
Well, they were going to fly over, and we had it approved.
Right, but it was at the wrong time.
No, it was on the date that was approved initially for the parade. It was all approved, and they were going to do a flyover. It's when the parade date was changed that we lost the flyover. It was already approved.
We were actually on their schedule. I saw it.
Yeah, but it was on the 4th.
No, on the 6th.
On the 6th. And we tried to change it to the 4th, and it got messed up there. It was approved. Isn't that the case, Councilman Barker?
That's right. Well, hearing the carnival and the concert are likely not going to happen. Like, that's very helpful, right? Because almost all of these other ones are small enough. For a good example, the car show is probably something that I could say, I can do the car show. I can help coordinate that and find, folks who are going to help that happen. But the luau is probably bigger than I can handle. And so we did even talk about that if we were going to do something where the council was stepping in, and maybe instead of paying someone else more money to be a contract events coordinator and do this, that maybe we should pay the council for stepping up and doing more in the city through the stipend, and kind of saying, hey, look, if you're doing more, you should make more. That's obviously not politically very fun to say, yes, I'm giving myself a raise, but when we used to do this, let's just look at the salary of the events coordinator that we had with benefits. It was close to $80,000. And so there's a lot of room between there, where we used to be, and where we are now to do something in the middle. And so we're trying to look at all the options. But if we had volunteers in the community that said, I will do the luau, I can, it doesn't deal with the 4th, it doesn't deal with the parade, it doesn't deal with fireworks, I can do the luau because it's no controversy. That would be awesome. We're just trying to see the appetite for the council on pursuing things, because this entire list of activities is probably beyond what we have the capabilities as a council and a staff without either contracting, finding a new group of volunteers, or hiring a person to take it on. So.
It seems like the musts are the parade and the fireworks. Everything else seems to be nice, but optional. When you look at the cost, when you see this, when they present, you'll understand. I'm just saying those are the musts. We can add whatever we want to it. But I think doing away with the parade and the fireworks would be not very acceptable.
Mayor, I was just going to say, I
When I was growing up here in North Ogden, we enjoyed the fireworks and we enjoyed the carnival and the parade. And it was pretty simple. Cherry Days was pretty simple, but it was enjoyable. And I wonder if over the last few years we've just tried to do too much. And it just makes it more complicated. But I'm happy, just so the council and the staff knows, I'm happy to help with any of the events. But sometimes I think more is not necessarily better, it's just more. So personally, can I say one more thing? Personally, I would just say, let's just do the fireworks. I think the carnival was always fun when I was a kid. That was a long time ago. So maybe today's kids are not as excited about carnivals, but fireworks and the parade are absolutely a, you know, kind of a necessity. So sorry about that.
Councilmember Del Paz, you had your hand up, I believe.
Yeah, I think the carnival and the musicians, I guess that makes a lot of sense. If it's a huge drag financially, no brainer there. I do think that, you know, there's been a lot of people that just express that Cherry Days has always been a 4th of July. They attach it directly to the 4th of July, especially for longtime residents. It's just what they've been used to. So I would be okay if we scaled it back to some of the more traditional things that we've done on the 4th for Cherry Days. And maybe we use this as a reset year where we scale it back, but then we start adding a bit at a time. And there's no reason we couldn't consider still doing the luau next year. That was a big hit, and if it breaks even, that's acceptable. And the last couple years that I've been at the luau, it's been pretty well manned by the council. I think we've had at least 3 or 4 council members at each of those, so I feel like that's something that we could manage. But yeah, just probably a scale back year just to get back calibrated.
Okay. Other comments, Councilmember Wall?
I have another question. So if all of the council picks 1 or 2 things that they feel comfortable coordinating, which I would be fine with, I would just be nervous that if it was left up to us to be able to find the 48,000 sponsorship. Is that something that someone else would do, or who would find all the sponsorships? And what if the council doesn't find sponsorships? Do you see what I'm saying?
That's why I think if you cut things back, you're not so reliant on the sponsorships. The city has historically put in $25,000, which would probably cover the fireworks and the luau, most likely. That's been its historical contribution. The rest of the money has been raised to cover things like the carnival, the concert, all those other things. So the pressure on raising money wouldn't be as great if we follow Councilmember Dalpaz's option there. And
does the 48 include the 25 from the city?
No. Doesn't. So the other accounts on revenues from events, but you know, there's things that, you know, I think the luau is great. It utilizes the amphitheater. It's probably one of the times we have most people there. I think people enjoy it. You know, the catering this year I think was a little bit more than the prior year, but I think you could, some of these events when they make their proposal, like the ping pong ball drop, huge amount of kids there. I mean, a lot of kids. John doesn't like the foam party because he's worried about liability on the
slip and slide.
On the slip and slides. But I think you could, you know, do the luau, you could do the fireworks, you could do the parade, and you could do the carnival, because the carnival actually offsets some of the other costs. The ping pong ball drop was minimal, but the big things you get into when they make their presentation, you'll see that were very, you know, expensive. And, you know, I was over there quite often, and I don't think I saw more than, I don't know, maybe it's the concert right before the fireworks. It was the big cost, but the stage and the folks that were performing, I didn't see hardly anybody. It was, I actually felt embarrassed for the people making the presentations. So, you know, I guess it's, do we scale it back and not rely on contributions and scale it back to enough where we can give it a shot to oversee it with some help from maybe Morgan in discussions with her? I just think it'd be very difficult to continue to pull off what's been happening, particularly when you see the financial risk, I guess, that I would say that it would be, you know, a company, something of that nature. Councilmember Watson?
No, let's talk it. I'll keep talking. Another idea, I don't know if this is possible, but if Morgan were able to just find a sponsor for each individual event, a separate sponsor for each event, and then after that, at that point, I think we could find, rather than a committee, you could find a volunteer to be in charge of each event. So there could be one rent volunteer from the city who I think we could convince to coordinate the phone party if there was already a sponsor in place. So then all Morgan would have to do is find the sponsors and then double check with the coordinator, whoever that is, the volunteer coordinator. Are you on? Have you covered everything? You know, it seems like a minimal amount of work for someone who does this for a profession. She knows who the sponsors are. She does this all the time. I mean, that's just one idea. If we could get her involved and then still farm out all of the events to different volunteers. Then it wouldn't have to be one, I guess what I'm saying is it wouldn't have to be one committee making all the decisions together, agreeing on everything, meeting regularly. Maybe a lot of the planning is eliminated.
So my question would be, what are we trying to decide today?
How are we gonna organize this? How are we gonna go forward? Are we gonna try to get a professional to do it? Is the council willing to scale this thing back and rebuild it, you know, based upon Councilmember Dalpaz's recommendation? I think this has some attendance numbers here, John, on this information, too. The Luau went from 676 people in 2023 to almost 800 last year.
That was dinner sold.
A lot of
people in attendance. There were several thousand. The carnival, 1,285 people. The ping pong ball dropped 757 people. Those were the major attended events that they listed. So I think we just need to say, are we thinking about scaling it back, and how are we going to pull it off? I guess that's kind of the direction we need from the council.
The other thing is just from my childhood is softball games all day long. I mean, that was huge. Is after the parade, you just have softball games between firefighters and police officers, and then other, it used to be recreation games, comp games, all that stuff. That was, I mean, people would just fill the grandstands just watching random softball and baseball games, and that was a fun memory for me. And it's free.
Yeah, the I don't think the firefighters are going to be participating again, are they? Councilmember Barker, according to the information I had.
It wasn't really considered a game anymore. You were the only team that seemed to show up.
So I think those are the two questions. Are we going to try to pull off the massive thing we've done for the last couple of years? Are we going to cut back to the essentials and see how that goes and build upon it? And how are we going to coordinate the effort? Council Member Polder?
So, looking at the calendar, the 4th is a Friday. Mm-hmm. So, we could just, instead of the full week, like we've been doing, just do Friday, Saturday. And then fill what you can on those 2 days and be done. And, you know, you could still have the luau on Saturday evening. You could still have ping pong ball drop. You could still have a lot of the things JD was talking about on the 4th. You know, I mean, there's the parade happens from a certain time to a certain time, and then basically have to fill a gap until firework time. So there's things that you can do marketplace-wise that can fill that gap between those 2 days. And that's going to be, you know, you have to have a draw for the marketplace, so you have to maybe even do the car show after the parade. You know, little things like that that you can stack on top of each other to make everything successful at the same time, but just do it in 2 days.
Okay. Councilmember Severing?
So I'm just going to maybe be the first one to say, here's what I would recommend we keep. I would say the luau, the parade, the carnival, and fireworks. And as I mentioned earlier, I'm happy to help. I'm happy to help wherever.
When you say carnival, do you mean the rides or do you mean the vendor market?
Probably both.
Okay.
I can tell you the carnival is a real drag.
I think we're worried about the carnival. Part of the problem with the carnival is Melanie Ewing had a really big connection with the person that runs those bouncy houses and things, and so I mean, costs could go up for one thing, just to get people out to set it up. So that was I don't know. I think the carnival has to go for that reason, not because it wasn't fun.
So based on what the mayor just shared with me, maybe that's not
the carnival is very expensive.
Stick to the things that made money or were free, and I think that you're going to be doing a lot better.
So luau, parade, and fireworks?
Ping pong ball drop, car show, things that are free, but some people still want to do. I mean, the luau car show, I have a huge car show guy. It's like I could never do it. It was always at 5 o'clock in the middle of the week. Now if you put it on Friday or Saturday, bing, you're going to have a ginormous car show.
Well, yeah, the problem is you're competing against about 8 other car shows.
Well, do it on Saturday.
On those that weekend, but we can give it a shot. That's what we're talking about trying, isn't
yeah.
it?
So we down to luau, parade, fireworks, and car show.
Ping pong ball drop.
I think it's hard to eliminate things, though. If we eliminate the bigger ones that cost a lot, I just hate to make a decision now and then find someone who is set on funding the, I don't know, movies in the park or the skate night or the something that's smaller. You know what I mean? If we eliminate it now, is there a way to move forward just eliminating the ones that hurt more? I don't know.
The big conversation too, I think, is that like in theory, if we did the vendor market and made $10,000, and we put in $25,000 of city money, we could pay for everything except for the carnival and the concert.
Yeah, that'd be my vote.
But who's going to run it? Because then it doesn't pay for itself, unless it's volunteers. That's the problem. Is that this is to do that many events? It is a 6-month job. It's 1,000 hours of work. And just as a reminder and a kudos to the committee and those who volunteered, it is a ton of work. You know, Councilmember Pulver said that. They just, you know.
I think the skate event kind of runs itself, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So I think you've got to take that into consideration, too. Those that don't take a lot of organization, that, like the car show, I think is pretty well run by folks. You know, the skate event is pretty much run by the breakfast.
Right, so we can.
I think traditionally the sunrise service is not a big deal. I didn't see that on here.
I love the 5K.
You know, but there's just, you know, we're going to have to make a decision. And I think we've got some recommendations here that we cut it back to the 2-day event. Then we decide what we can include in there from the financial side and what's free and what takes less organization. But if all we're looking for tonight is, are we going to try to do this without hiring additional? Now, we could enhance Morgan's, but I wouldn't recommend that we look at hiring another events coordinator for, by the time it's done, it's over $100,000. but you know, we kind of have some thought here on cutting back to 2 days and looking at what's affordable and what we can handle organizational-wise. And that, you know, like I say, there's numerous things that don't take a lot of time or money. It's just, can you fit it into that 2 days? Councilmember Barker.
I was trying to wait until everyone spoke before I gave my expertise or my experience this last 2 years. As a committee, we actually said multiple times that no matter what happens these last 2 years, whoever runs the Cherry Days event next year and the year after is going to succeed, because it's the biggest complaint we heard is it's not on Friday and Saturday. Cherry Days is going to be on Friday and Saturday, or the 4th of July is on Friday and Saturday, so
next year.
The next 2 years. So it might be a good time to start, not start over, but take it over, and because we will succeed, because everyone's going to be happy that the parade's back on the weekend, fireworks are back on the weekend. The main reason I think the carnival didn't succeed this year is because you moved the parade off of the day of the carnival. So the parade is what draws people to the park and to the carnival and to the vendor booths. When you moved it off of the day of the carnival, now the people don't have to draw to go to the park. And so that's why they lost so many people this year. I think it's a great idea for the council to take over an event or two each and plan for the next year. It's hard to say we're going to raise donations or get donors ahead of time, because we were starting raising donations the first of the year, and they usually don't come in until the end of May. And so by then it's too late to find somebody to sponsor them, or not sponsor them, but to plan an event at the end of May. So that's, we were planning a lot of stuff before we had the money in.
So I think the answer is we got a recommendation of 2 days. We've had the foreshores identified, and then we can look beyond that for what resources it's going to take to organize and go from there. But I think, is the council willing to coordinate, gather the volunteers and oversee the 5 or 6 events that take some involvement? Because like I say, you know, car show, John's volunteered to do that, it's not big. Kiwanis breakfast, not big. Sunrise service, not big. But you know, 5K takes some organization.
Becca
already does that.
Coordinating the fireworks, making sure they're taken care of, takes some effort. The parade, pretty big effort. So are we willing to do that and give it a shot this year? Cut back to Friday and Saturday, reduce the high risk, eliminate the high risk financial events, and go forward. Am I seeing any concurrence there? Councilmember Barker?
One last recommendation. I'd actually make it 3 days and start Thursday night, because we had the biggest success with the car show being not on the 4th of July, because there's more people showing up. So either you do the car show Thursday night or the luau on Thursday night.
That was the biggest complaint, is having it on a weekday when everybody's still working.
But that they had more people in the last 2 years show up.
Okay.
Double than what they've averaged when it's been on the 4th of July. Like, they're doubling the amount of entrants. So it's...
We can look at that.
Yeah, or you put the luau on Thursday night before. So I'd say start Thursday
afternoon. The only reason to put 2 days is that by the time I saw the committee members at the end of the last day, they looked like death. And I said, you know, you can't do that. You got to have it short and sweet so that it can be all hands on deck and it's not, you know, here, there, and all these other places you can have. So anyway.
Yeah, maybe what we could do is some of the non-intense events that don't take a lot of oversight, we could begin on a Thursday night. But I agree with you, the intense can't be spread out and have us do it. Councilmember Watson?
I'm curious to learn more of what it would take to have this enhanced help for Morgan financially. What would that take? What would that look like? Because I think it'd be worth having a higher investment. You know, we're used to doing the $25,000, but if we need to up that a bit so that we can enhance Morgan's expectations and have some oversight. It's great to have a lot of volunteers, but if we're all going different directions, we need somebody to report back to, somebody to keep us in check and keep us accountable. And
we can talk to Morgan about coordinating the overall effort, not having to put in a whole bunch of extra work. You know, she's got a lot of things going on in her life right now, too. So we'd be happy to talk with her to see if she'd keep us in line. Is that a direction we ought to start seeking so we know where we're going?
Sounds good.
Shaking their head?
Let's move in.
I'm sure we'll get some more input from our spouses later. But yeah. Yeah. I know I will. But.
Chris will.
You know. So I think before we finalize anything, we're just making a recommendation, and we sure to seek some feedback on that. But, you know, we can do whatever we want, but we have to fund it. Okay. Well, that's the recommendation we'll make then. And we'll try to identify those events that we can put in on Friday and Saturday and kind of put them into categories of intense and non-intense. And maybe Councilmember Barker's thing, we could kick it off on a Thursday night with something that's not overly intense and see where we go from there. But I think I'm hearing scale back with us participating perhaps more than we have in the past, taking on some responsibility, and then talking to Morgan to see what coordination effort. So, and you'll check with Amber and get back to us.
Okay. Well, you said you had to check with her.
I have so many people, you have no idea.
Okay. All right, anything else?
If it's gotten a pain.
That gives us some direction on where we're going to go. We need to get started. All right. John, what else do you have that you'd like to?
I'm good on Terry Days.
Okay. Let's move on then to the discussion of the Barker Park Amphitheater hosting community plays with the city manager and attorney John Call making the presentation.
Okay, and I have some help. I have Megan here. So we've council member Severine and Watson have done a lot of research on can we do a community play, how that would work, have talked to several individuals. Two groups can't, so we've just been reaching out, and Megan has actually come in before with her group, Broadway on the Side, and talked about using the facility, and her proposal, and I'm going to give you the short version, and then she'll give you all the details, would be some sort of a partnership with the city where we would share in the ticket cost, or basically in the profit of the event, as opposed to charging them for the rental of the facility. They would use the facility for 3 weeks, 1 week for the rehearsals, and then 2 weeks of shows on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And there's even the potential of them doing two shows next year, but Megan can tell you more about that, maybe tell you a little bit about her group. But if we're going to do some sort of a community play, right now this seems like the most viable option. Because all the directors and others that we've talked to are either committed or have something going on in their life and they can't. That doesn't mean we've talked to everyone who knows how to do it, and it's not by any means meant to discount how good Megan and her group is on what they do. Just, you know, it's just, you will hear her passion for theater in her discussion. But anyways, Megan, if you want to sit in that chair and that microphone right there will work. And you can kind of maybe share your thoughts and the approach you'd like to take if the council wanted to go this way.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. Oh, microphone. Nice to see you all, Mayor Ruby. Good to see you, council members. For those of you guys who don't know me, my name is Megan Nelson. I reside at 3555 North 800 East in North Ogden. So I am a resident, and yes, I actually started our company back in Washington in 2014. And then my husband tricked me into moving to Utah, and we moved my company out here. So we currently are in the strip mall over in Harrisville, right, I think it used to be a Hollywood Video. We're right next to Standard Optical, Anytime Fitness, Walmart. And we've converted that into a performance space. But the reason that John and Christina and Blake asked me to be here today is I've been wanting to get into the amphitheater to serve North Ogden for quite a while. And the proposal that I have is a no financial risk for the city. We carry our own insurance. When it comes to a production, the costs are rights and staffing and usually rental space, rental costumes, sets, whatever, building those things. But rather than us asking for anything up front, what we want to do is we have a space that we can do things in, but we really want to be able to involve the community more. We can't have a 50-kid chorus in our space, but we absolutely could in the amphitheater. So we would pay for everything on the front end, and then we would work at getting sponsors to be able to pay for those things, but again, that falls on us, and perhaps Blake, if he's willing, I'm teasing, but I know, I love it, to see if they want to, but the financial risk falls on us. Then, after everything has been paid and we have the ticket sales, we would then split the profits with you guys. Everything would be run through our website, so you would not have to oversee anything unless you wanted to have a link on your page, or if you guys did want to do ticket sales through the city, we absolutely could. We also, one of the things that we do is part of our mission statement is to make the arts accessible to everybody. And we're very aware that there are some families out there that simply cannot afford a $12 ticket or even a $10 ticket. So we set up a certain amount of free tickets that they can go online and purchase for themselves. So we would love to, at no cost, I say purchase, but at no cost, so that it really can be something they can reach out to. I look at this because the space doesn't get used as much as I know we would like to. The other nice thing is that when we are rehearsing or doing anything in there, we're going to be inside until we do the production, until we're doing our dress rehearsals, so that we don't have to worry about bothering the neighbors with ambient noise and things like that. We're not just going to be echoing out until we do the actual performance. The performance that we would like to propose as our first choice is Newsies. It's a family favorite, everybody loves it, and we can get really a big amount of kids, adults, and teens involved in it from all over the area as well as in our city. On top of that, I have access to protein. My board of directors is on board with this. They're really thrilled about being able to use the space. We have our own, but we want to be able to bring this because the amphitheater has a certain special quality. We would like to do it the last weekend in July, perform the last weekend of July and the first weekend in August. That's what we feel would probably be the best time frame, seeing that the second weekend in August is the Weber County Fair, and then you also have 24th of July, which is actually the day we would start, but since you guys don't do 24th of July technical celebration, then this could be a celebration of sorts where people could come out and see a show. We'd also love to do Adam's Family in September, October timeframe, but again, this is something that we bring to you because we want to be able to use the facility. We want to bring people out. It's a way to make money for the community. And if there's a way to, I know that we're only allowed to sell 504 tickets, but if we allow a certain amount of free tickets, is that still under the 504 limit, or are we able to exceed that? Do we know?
John, you'd have to answer that. I think it's a parking issue.
So it's a good question because she asked me that question and I said, I don't know, because the way the ordinance says is it's if you're selling tickets, you can only give out this many, but if it's a if it's like luau and people are buying dinner, not tickets to the show, then we haven't put a cap on how many people can show up. So it's this weird conversation.
Megan, maybe you could sell hot dogs, then it'd be unlimited.
There you go. We actually, one of the ideas that John and I brainstormed was finding a donor who would be able to cover the cost of what the production, what the ticket sales would be if we sold out every night, so that we could make it free to the public. But then when you have a free event, it takes away kind of the, I don't want to say exclusivity, but the excitement, and this is something that you have to plan to go see, and it's not just thrown out there. But we also talked about maybe having a donation night where come and donate a can of food for your ticket, so or non-perishable item, so that we can also give back to the community in that way. We really do want it to be a partnership. Shoot, when John showed it to me, I wanted to move in. I was like, can I just live here? Yeah, it's beautiful. Do you guys have any questions for me? I'm not sure if I'm leaving anything out. But
so, Council, essentially the question for the group is, are we okay with heading down this path of kind of a contractual relationship with some expectations that we would then bring to the Council in a future meeting for an actual contract? We're a year out, 11, 10 months out, but they need to buy the rights for any of the shows they want to do, and they need to do it now for next summer.
I think this is kind of what we've been seeking, to get the use of the amphitheater. In fact, I believe the council approved upfronting some costs if we could find somebody to do it. This seems like it's kind of a win-win situation. I know the high school, I think, put on Newsy 2 years ago, or 1 year ago?
It's been up. 2 or 3, it's been recent.
No, time flies fast, but I'm trying to think of what the downside is, and I'm not seeing any downside. The facility gets used, the city's not at risk financially. I'm trying to think what the downsides may be. I'm not thinking of any.
The protocol that we set up.
That's right. So, Councilman Pulver said, would this follow the protocol? Because this would be the city partnering with a new group. That would be the reason for us to bring it back with an official contract. And then I believe that, Mayor, that you would be cast as the role of Teddy Roosevelt in Newsies.
Well, I was just going to make a condition on finding a thing for Mr. Burns to participate in this production. Lurch, something of that nature.
Oh, boy.
Oh, that's hurtful. But,
so, I mean,
this is kind of what I think Council Member Watson and Severing and Megan and I talked about, is that it seems like a real positive. We just didn't want to go any further without having the conversation with the group.
We were kind of talking about setting a new protocol anyway, when we were going to upfront fund somebody. That would have been a partnership of type. I think we can figure out how to make this work. This is kind of what we've been seeking, in a way, to use the facility. So, I don't know, do you have any, I mean, we'd probably have to make some adjustment, but it seems like this would fit into the spirit of what we're trying to do. You know, I've always looked at substance over form, and this seems to me the substance of what we've been trying to do to get the facility used. But you're right, we probably have to make some adjustment, but I don't see that as a problem from my standpoint.
And we're not asking for any upfront cost from the
No,
city.
I'm just saying we already approved that one time before.
If you want to give us money, we'll take it.
I like your proposal better.
It's an upgrade.
Any other questions for Megan or thoughts? Councilmember Watson.
Just for John, the contract would be written in a way that just these either one or two of these two suggested plays would be in the contract, and then if it went well, we could talk about the contract renewing, but it's not automatically renewed, right?
Correct. Yeah, so it would be, we probably have two separate contracts, one for each. Activity.
Okay.
And then if it went well, it could be possible for the future. And I think we've talked about, it'd be nice if we had kind of one key event each month, but I hesitate to do much more than that just because I don't want to tie it up with things people have to pay to attend, when I'd like a lot more free things there too.
And we can continue to do that, but I think these are some prime things that would draw attention to the facility and what's going on. And I think we need to look at the ordinance, John, because we have a lot more than 504 people at the luau. We had...
Yeah, so the nuance is we didn't sell tickets to the luau. You bought a ticket to dinner. And so...
Well, we'll sell hot dogs or something. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But it seems like... I don't know the reason for the 504 when we know that we can accommodate, you know, much more than that because we've done it.
It's just in the ordinance based on the number of parking stalls in the parking lot. So there's 101, or there's
126. I'm with you, John. But we have 4,000 people or 5,000 people at the luau. We'll figure it out.
Okay.
Councilmember Watson, anything else?
I just was wanting to say that as I've talked to Megan several times, I'm really excited about this option. I'm excited about her passion that she brings and her experience. And I think this is a really like an upgrade to our previous, what we had already approved. This is an even better plan so far, it looks like. And so I'm excited to see how it works out. My personal opinion is like kind of what Megan said. If you have to buy a ticket and you have an investment and then you're guaranteed to show up a little bit more. In my experience, I've seen some free events have low attendance, but I don't know, maybe we even say if you want to sit in the front hub, you pay a ticket and then the outskirts are free or something. I don't know, there's brainstorming that could happen.
I think we can figure out the details. I think the concept is what I'm seeing heads shake yes with.
Okay.
Okay.
May I say something else?
Yeah.
I know that I don't think we talked about this, so this is me going slightly rogue, but just to throw it out there, we are doing a kids camp in June, the first 2 weeks of June. It's an intensive, so they go from 9 to 2 every day, and then they perform it the last couple of days. We would love to be able to, if you want, just as an option out there, we could partner with the city on that, so because they pay a tuition, and then if you want to make it free to the parents, we can, and we could split the tuition of the kids and make it a city opportunity as well. If you did want to have an event in June in the amphitheater, but again, sorry, I know I'm going rogue, but just thought I'd throw it out there. We're going to do it in our space, if not, but just wanted to let you know there are options.
Okay, well, let's talk about that, see how that works. I think what we're looking at is we've got a facility there that needs to be used and for the right things and involving the community. We've called that a community gathering place. I think that's what we need to start trying to focus on. So, okay. We can consider that. I think we've actually had camps there historically.
Yeah, we have done a theater camp there, yeah. And when I say free events, I'm always thinking like, it's the piano recital group that does their piano recital there, so the parents don't have to pay to attend. That's the kind of free stuff, the community-based things, not just, you know, things like that. So,
any other questions for Megan or John? Councilmember Severing or Watson, any questions for them? All right, work with John. Let's see if we can work out the details. So.
Wonderful. Thank you for your time, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, John, I think do you have any other questions or comments, anyone? It's just a work session, so it's less formal. All right, John, let's go on to item number 9 then. This is in regards to the replacement for the Connection magazine, which I got my August Connection magazine on the 27th. So,
yeah, they're struggling. I think they're struggling with advertisers, and their printer is struggling. And so, in our last discussion, we said we would come back to you with kind of a prototype and show you what the newsletter would look like. Katie took the articles that she had prepared for the magazine, because the magazine's going out still through October, I believe, and then built a two-page kind of, this is what the city's thing would look like. It'd be front and back, and you can just see that, you know, highlighting some of the stuff, A good reminder, the canine Kerplunk is on Saturday. So if you want to take your dog down to the pool to go swimming, register and do that. But
be dog, can't be cat.
Right, they don't do cats, yep. Yeah. And you can't dress up as a dog either. It's for true canines only. But you can see there's a message from the mayor, there's stuff from the chief, and things would rotate. I know some of the council members have written that mayor's message or council member message. But Katie can probably talk to you about some of her interactions with the magazine, how she would see this going, because right now we kind of see Katie as taking the lead on this because she's been the go-to person on this for 2.5 years now and has really kept the city in the magazine. And then I'll just, before she talks, the cost, if we do a black and white, the cost is 10 cents an insert. If we do full color, it's about 27.5 cents. So at 10 cents an insert, it's about $500. At 27.5 cents, it's about $1,400 a month. So that's for all the ones that we mail out. And then this is, I know we've talked about using Pleasant View as an example, and this is what theirs looks like. So if you've seen it, this is kind of their layout, similar to what Katie's proposing. Although did you had the mayor's picture in here too, right, Mayor Berube? Okay, your picture's a little more professional, Mayor. So, but Katie might be able to tell you more about like her process and things, because we would right now, well, Katie, why don't you tell us what you go through now and how you see this transitioning?
Sure. So I'll just say the relationship we've had working with Ryan and Robert Dodd and their group has been fantastic. I'm actually really going to miss working with them. They've bent over backwards for us on different occasions when we've needed things to be put in and switch things last minute. So just on record, I've really appreciated working with them, and I'm definitely going to miss them. So right now, what we try to do is obviously the mayor submits his mayor's message every month. We do have a resident that submits emergency preparedness, and I've spoken with her. She would like to continue submitting emergency preparedness every month. We do get the city council update from Ryan every month, which is very helpful. We've actually had people ask if we can start posting that on social media. For those that didn't watch the meeting or just needed a quick recap real quick. So Ryan does send that over every month. And then, you know, we work with Becca to get the registration openings, deadlines, things like that for sports. We work with Justin to get anything that's happening at the pool specifically that next month. And then the Chief Einan has just recently come on and would like to start submitting a chief's message, which I think is really cool. So this is the first one that he submitted. It'll come in this upcoming magazine. John and I did have some discussion. Oh, really quick, let me go back. So what we try to do too is we try to highlight in the department, a new department every month. So, you know, we highlighted Loman View Park with its makeover. We'll do the drug take back for PD. We try to do, you know, water projects and things like that in public works, and then we also do our employee spotlight. So I feel like we have enough information to at least do the two pages. John and I did talk about possibly asking, you know, some residents to maybe do some writing and have like a guest writer once a month. Or a few months back, we did highlight some youth in our community that had done some really cool things, gone above and beyond either with their grades. We had a girl that was a gymnast that made some great team. And so anyways, we put it out there and we highlighted some of the youth in our community, and that went really well. So my idea is to run it similar to what's up there. This was just a quick layout, but you know, obviously we just want to make sure that it's going to look accurate. And with the Connection magazine, you know, they have professional, you know, editors and proofreaders and things like that. So if we're going to take this on, which I, you know, we are, I really just want to make sure that we're getting a couple sets of eyes on it just to review that everything is accurate and looks correct. You know, make sure that we're doing the right color scheme and, and, you know, just different things like that, just to make sure it's accurate and it's the same every month. We usually submit all of our information usually that first week of the month for the next month. I think if we're going to do this ourselves, it might make things a little bit easier. We still probably won't get everything submitted around the same time frame. I'd work with Stacy to make sure, you know, that we're getting things sent out in a timely manner when she sends out the utility bills, but I don't see a lot of change in gathering this information. So that's kind of my idea.
And so what questions do you have for Katie? Councilmember Colbert?
So I guess memory a little bit shady on we said we can't afford Connection Magazine because they were going up to, well, and that's where I missed.
2,000 a month.
2,000. Okay, so that's the bogey. We can't go above, or we just are shooting ourselves in the face.
I was a little surprised that the full color from the mailing group was only 25 cents a page. I was worried it was going to be like 50 cents, and at that point we would be spending $2,500. So I was glad that we could do full color, because black and white would be hard.
Is that something that stays that way, or you can lock it in for a little bit, or is that something that
it's just
could jump around like a...
It shouldn't... They've been pretty consistent. The 10 cents for black and white has been consistent for 5 to 6 years, but they've always been pretty reasonable. They haven't taken huge price jumps, except for when the postage goes up.
John, is that mailing out everyone the 27 cents?
So it's so we send out 5,100 bills a month in the mail, and this is, so it's putting one in every one of the ones we mail out. We would also do an email to those who get it electronically and then post it on the city website as well.
So it's 27 cents to produce it plus mailing?
Or is
27% inclusive of mailing?
The mailing is paid for by the bill already, so it's just on. So it's just 27 cents more than we're currently paying.
To Councilmember Pulvers, you know, if we have 7,000 connections in the city, we send out 7,000. That's approaching the 27 cents a pop. That's approaching the 24,000 that the council blocked at with the Connection Magazine. Is my recollection. I mean, we need to communicate. I'm just saying, to Councilmember Pulvers' point. It's about the same as.
So
as
I'm just running some quick math. If you said we send out 5,100 physical bills, and the rest will be emailed, so it's like 1,300-ish for 5,100 residents. So we're saving about $600. I mean, it's not like substantial savings, but we're saving some.
That's pretty close. So.
I guess the point is that if we're taking on more than what we did before, listening to Katie, it sounds like the answer is no. We're just having to do a little bit, I'll say, a little bit more, not a lot. So, I mean, that's the one part that, you know, scares you, is that the manpower costs get lost in the shuffle sometimes. It's all about physical outpayment. And it's probably a wash, but at the same time, how viable is the Connection Magazine, period, I think is what we need to look at. And if Ryan says that he can't afford, you know, this next year it's going to be 4,000, I don't know. I guess that's the question to everybody else, is that do we just take it out, period, or, anyway.
Just one idea. If we pay the $1,400 a month for the first, I don't know, 5 or 6 months or something, but added a pretty significant spot on this template every month that had a QR code to where you could find the newsletter digitally, and then with a warning that said you only get 5 months of this and then we will be digital only, something like that. I don't know if that's a option or if that's kind of excluding people down the road, but I like the idea of having color. But, I mean, it is expensive.
So aren't we paying slightly more than we were with Connection last year? Because wasn't it like 1,200-ish? So it's 1,200 per month. I thought it was.
I thought it was 8,000.
Yeah.
Huh? 800 a month.
Is it
800 a month?
Yeah, so it's 600. Yeah, it seems like
it's still going to be more. I think that's the point, but... I think at the same time, do you get off the truck before it crashes, you know, and get ahead of it before, because people love paper still, you know, and I can't remember the individual that came there with the Connection magazine, you know, that's the thing, is that I agree with flipping to, I don't have a crap ton of paper, but I still have paper, and, you know, it's a lot easier to flip through than try to scan 75,000 pages on your smart device, so, I still think it's a way that we need to go eventually to electronic, and that's kind of the direction we need to head for the new website that we're doing and everything else, but until the generation that loves paper, how do I say it politically correctly, but goes off on the iceberg, how do you say it?
Anyway. Off into the sunset?
Sunset, there we go. Goes off into the sunset that we're still going to have paper. In fact, I still love paper, but so until I die, I guess, how about that?
Another question. Katie, you said this wouldn't be a significant change in your time commitment to make, to put it all into this template. It would be similar time commitment. Okay.
Yeah, no, this wouldn't take much longer than just submitting it like we do now.
Okay. I vote black and white because I'm thinking this through now, and the whole thing was, oh crap, we're going to have to spend more money with the connection. And yeah. Black and white is the only thing that makes sense if we're truly trying to cut back.
You know, we could, to Councilmember Watson's point, you know, we want it to look professional, right? But we know we can't continue on to do that. If we could start converting, and Councilmember Paul was right. If you notice, though, the grocery stores pretty much quit sending out ads, right? Paper didn't affect their business really much at all, but it's transition to that point. So you know, maybe we try it up front with the message, hey, we're going to convert this after 4 or 5 months. I do think it's important that we always have a section, kind of a calendar section, so people know what's going on in the city in addition to those other things. But it's up to you, Council, what you want to do. I think the proposal is you know, a newsletter distributed initially through the bills with some electronic support, ultimately trying to convert more and more to that. So I think it comes down to color or black and white.
Can I just add to that, too? So we do get a handful of calls every month if it's not, you know, people expect it to be there. And so I think going away from it, I agree. I think this is a good idea to keep it here. Some other suggestions that we possibly could do is, like you said, Councilmember Watson, phase it out eventually to where, you know, in a couple months, a few months, it is going to be digital only. But we do have some copies at City Hall for people to come by and pick up. I will say we do have some people that as much as you tell them this is going to be digitally, they either don't know how to get it digitally, and that's okay. So maybe we give somebody the option of, you know, we print 50 off and somebody 25 or whatever, and somebody can come pick it up if they need to or something like that.
Referring back to the grocery store, what they do is most people go to the grocery store, right? And if we, I'm sure our local grocery stores would allow us to have a place there at their service desk where they could pick up if we have 50 or 100 copies or something of that nature.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, but I get calls too on, you know, where's my magazine? I just say, talk to Katie. So what do you want to do, Council? How do you want to approach this?
Well, Mayor, I like the idea of, I like the phased idea. I really think digital is the way we should go, you know, as soon as we possibly can, right? But I was just thinking the same thing. At least you can pick up the, you can pick up a copy of the, I'm not sure what it's called. It's the Huntsville Liberty Eve newspaper there. So maybe we just take a little corner of the customer service and put 50, 100 up in there.
I'm sure Smith's and Lee's would love to do that for those who. So what direction do you want to give Katie? You want to start out with color or black and white with a phase-out period with proper communication and maybe having, for those that do like paper, maybe at the two grocery stores or something, they can pick one up.
I would have to say color. I think color is very nice.
Hello, is anyone home? What would you like to do?
Mayor, I mean, if you go south, I mean, there's certain expectations, and I think that's what we're trying to match. If we start, you know, I think the biggest complaint, we send out a black and white, you know, you're going to get comments. And I know, unless there's certain individuals that want to pinch panties, I think that's, I guess the point is we're trying to place something that looked good. So how do we do that at minimal cost? I think John's trying frantically trying to find what we were paying, what's in the budget currently. Because I think that's kind of the key point is, what do we have in the budget currently for this year? If we go above that, then we have to add more money. Right? I mean, so the bogey's not really technically what we said we weren't going to do anyways. It's technically what is in the budget currently. Now I'm trying to go through the other sheets.
Maybe zero.
No, we had something in there.
I can't recall what Jamie put in there.
I know Steph knows it off the top of her head. President of the Citizen Board.
I really like the idea of having a stack available to the public for those who are missing the Connections magazine. And so even if that means our budget says that we don't have enough money to send them at all, I think it's more important to have a stack available, whether that's here or at the City Hall or as city offices or at Lee's and Smith's. But I think if we could at least find the budget to have a stack somewhere and then just do it digitally, that would be fine too. But I think if there are some people who are going to want it, so I'm a fan of that.
Anybody find it in the budget? Because what I'm hearing at this point in time is we go to color for, say, a 3 or 4 month period with the ultimate thing of going totally digitally with bringing a, you know, couple hundred or something to put at Smith's and Lee's that people can pick it up who don't digitally get it.
I second your idea.
Does anybody have a problem with going that direction?
Who's printing it?
Huh?
Who did you say was printing it?
Whoever's going to print it to send it out to 5,100.
As opposed to like city printer printing out 50 and whatever. I don't know.
Who's going to print the copies off?
I believe John, didn't you get the number from Quality Quick Print? Is that where you got that from?
It was from Freedom Mailing Services.
Oh, okay. So I can get a couple of prices just to see comparison, what it would cost.
I know if we printed them ourselves with our printer, it's less than 5 cents a copy. It's the processing and touching it and folding it that makes it jump up. And it'll probably look better through the mail than it will off our printer, because they use a different...
Did anybody find out what's in the budget to see if this would fit in?
I'm pulling it up right now. It's
discussion.
It's under non-departmental, so I'm just trying to find it in the yellow sheets. Because it's in a budget line that's $107,000, and that's obviously not it. So we had $10,000 in the Connection magazine.
So at $1,400 a month, you could do it for 5 or 6 months with the ultimate thing of converting it to digital with availability at, we have some here at the city office and the two grocery stores, people who want to pick them up. Okay, John, is that, looks like everybody's kind of shaking their head.
Well, what do we do after that?
Huh?
What do we do after that?
We go digitally, right?
How many months did you say?
Five-ish months.
Right.
$1,300 a month, I think, is that what you said, Councilmember Dalvez? $1,350, something like that?
$1,300-ish for 5,100 times 27 each is... 1377 a month.
So if we did that for 4 or 5 months, we'd be within budget easily, right?
Correct.
And give us some to print and continue on for the other 5 or 6 months. $1,350 times 5.
So that's, you're talking it'd be November, December? Because we can start to November, right? November, December, January, February.
March, maybe you go through March. Where people are getting out more regularly. Some of the older folks don't get out as much, but then we could start putting them in the grocery store.
And we can put them in the senior center. Sorry, I might have missed that while I was looking, but we can put them over there.
Oh, yeah, when I was over there talking to the Whittlers, not one of them were from North Ogden.
Even after this, after March, it's going to be very nominal to print a stack if we do it ourselves because we want to fold them, right? So $5 added on to admin costs somewhere to have a stack in the, that's not a big deal.
Yeah, we could still have stacks.
You would even have to fold the ones you're going to put in the grocery store.
But then you start having the question about the employee time. I guess they're going to organize it for the e-version, so it's not hard to just print it out.
Okay. Sounds good.
Katie seems on board, so.
Is that okay, Katie?
Yeah, it sounds great.
Let's try that.
When does the new website come on?
We go live in November.
November, okay, sorry.
Probably on Election Day.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All right, we're on item number 10, which is public comments. If anyone would like to comment, either online or here, please step up to the podium, state your name, if you're resident of North Ogden, please limit your comments to no longer than 5 minutes, and John, if you'd watch online.
Sandy Cochran, I am a resident of North Ogden. I agree with the decisions you made about the newsletter. I just wanted to make one suggestion that maybe you left a stack also at the senior center, since they're the ones that generally struggle with digital issues. That's it.
Yeah. I think it's important, too, that we keep, since it's just 2 pages, that we keep it substantive, that we keep the substance in there that's important, and maybe surround it with some less substantive things, but make sure we keep it for giving information of substance. Anyone else like to talk to tonight?
Wow.
Kevin Burns. I'm from North Ogden. And apparently I take jokes well, so you know that joke was good. Very encouraged by the discussion about the amphitheater and having the plays there. This sounds like the direction we need to go. We'd like to encourage you to consider having more of the Cherry Days events at the amphitheater. Now that Karen's moving out of the neighborhood, we can do some stuff over there.
Wow. Good point.
And that's all. Thank you.
We're talking about jokes. I mean, holy cows.
Is that a touche, Kevin?
All right, anyone else? I see no one else would like to make public comments.
We do have one online.
Okay. Let's hear, is this Mr. Swanson?
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Swanson, let's hear.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to say thank you for the great discussion tonight. Thank you for the good decisions made. And no matter what decision you've made, there's going to be some or many who won't like the decisions that you've made. I think you've made good decisions based on the information that you have. So thanks for your service. That's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Swanson. Anyone else? Okay, we'll move on to item number 11. I have some of our staff here tonight. Brian, do you have anything?
Yes, sir.
Katie, anything more? Thank you for your presentation. Bryce? David? All right. Council, any comments you may have? Council Member Sutton.
I just said one thing. I was just going to follow up with David.
John on Loman View on the dogs issue, because I had the citizens follow, they followed up with me. So are we gonna try not to have dogs there and just send people back to the dog park if they've got dogs, or are we gonna make sure, you saw those pictures, I think I forwarded to you too, where they were like, well, one sign says no dogs, the other sign says if you have a dog, you gotta have it on a leash. So they're just looking for some clarity.
I didn't think it was our intention to not have dogs, is that right?
Correct.
So we'll correct the sign?
Yes.
It says dogs on the leash?
Yes. And I know code enforcement has been notified as well so that they can be involved as far as making sure dogs are on leashes.
Okay, thank you.
And the chief sent a thing, I thought he had sent it to the whole council, but it was just to me and the mayor and Dave, and we can forward that to you as well, that he talks about it's in our code that it's prohibited to have them off-leash in the non-off-leash designated area. So
I didn't see the chief's message. Was it about bikes and scooters on the sidewalk?
There is about...
Because I asked him to write an article. I received some input from a citizen regards to the danger of almost hitting people driving these electric scooters and bikes on the sidewalk, and there is an ordinance. Is that what it's about?
Yeah.
Good. Good. Council, what else? Anything you have that you'd like to bring up from citizens this evening? Okay. If not, I'd look for a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Motion to adjourn.
Meeting is adjourned.
David?